entendeu?
Jane,
to the living beings,
Anagasi,
those who are offenseless,
Agham,
sufferings,
Yunjan,
by applying,
Sarvata,
anywhere and everywhere,
Asya,
of such offenders,
Cha,
and
Matbhayam,
fear me,
Sadhunam,
of the honest persons,
Bhadram,
good fortune,
Eva,
certainly,
Syat,
will take place,
Ashadhu,
dishonest miscreants,
Dhamane,
curbed,
Krite,
being so done. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridanti Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. Whoever causes offenseless living beings to suffer must fear me anywhere and everywhere in the world. By curbing dishonest miscreants, one automatically benefits the offenseless. Purport. Dishonest persons flourish because of cowardly and impotent executive heads of state. But when the executive heads are strong enough to curb all sorts of dishonest miscreants in any part of the state, certainly they cannot flourish. When the miscreants are punished in an exemplary manner, automatically all good fortune follows. As said before, it is the prime duty of the king or the executive head to give protection in all respects to the peaceful, offenseless citizens of the state. The devotees of the Lord are by nature peaceful and offenseless. And therefore, it is the prime duty of the state to arrange to convert everyone to become a devotee of the Lord. Thus, automatically, there will be peaceful, offenseless citizens. Then the only duty of the king will be to curb the dishonest miscreants. That will bring about peace and harmony all over human society. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama. I offer my respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has so kindly come to me, who am in the darkness of ignorance. And He is forcing my eyes open with this torchlight of transcendental knowledge. So, this is a very, you could say, political or of the moment sort of verse today in the world situation. When you see that everywhere, of course they talk about there was some mention by the president here about the axis of evil. He named three countries, as if everybody else was good. Every other state was good except the three countries. But actually we can see that actually I don't know of any state in the world that we could actually say it's not a rogue state. Every state is a rogue state. Being managed by rogues and rascals. There's one very nice lecture Prabhupada gives in Bombay. He says, actually the whole world now is being managed by rogues and demons. He says, now you make your life successful and you take the management. So I ask you, my dear Prabhus, Are you prepared to follow Prabhupada's instruction to become a sadhu and actually take the leadership role on this planet? Are we also rogues? You see? You know what Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Goswami in the early days, Tamal Krishna Das Brahmachari? He said, Krishna can give you all of America within 1 minute. But what you will do with it? You ever wondered why the whole world hasn't become Krishna conscious yet? Prabhupada actually told us in 18 days we could make the whole world Krishna conscious. You ever wondered why it hasn't happened? Well, I hate to say it, Prabhu, but we're rogues still. That's the problem. We're still holding on to our own roguish mentalities. And that's why. So it's up to us, actually, to purify our own hearts. And actually come to the point where we'll become so pure and so perfect in our Krishna conscious practice that all the leaders of the world will come running to the ISKCON devotees. Please guide me in how I can run my country. You see? Just imagine if somehow or other you were the only devotee left on the planet, that everybody else went back to Godhead. You were the only devotee left in this material world. And it was your responsibility to deliver the entire planet. How pure would you have to be? You see, not to become overwhelmed by material desires. So this is how we have to think. We have to think how to make myself so pure that I can actually do my service to Srila Prabhupada and my Guru Maharaj for pushing forward this movement in a very pure way by every word, by every thought, and by every deed that I perform. It's not that it's somebody else's responsibility to push forward the movement. It's my responsibility. Each one of us has to think like that. It's my personal duty to see that this movement is going forward. Because right now we have a horrible, deplorable situation on this planet. It's horrible what's going on. We have offenseless living beings who are suffering in so many ways. The cows, what offenses they are committing. They're being mercilessly slaughtered every day. Thousands and millions of cows. Look at all these, the poor children in the womb who are being aborted. And so many people who are trying to be good, they may not be devotees, but they're trying at least to be good and honest people. You see, sattvic. Many people are trying to be sattvic. But they're being so much exploited and abused. So, as Krishna says, mat bhayam. These people should fear me. They must fear me. And, of course, how do they fear Krishna? In the form of death. These people must be afraid of death. Anyone who has a roguish mentality must be afraid of death. Look at Kamsa. He was so afraid of death. He was so paranoid about dying. You see, a devotee is detached. A devotee can, just like we can see our Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, our beloved Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, even though death is coming, he's so brave in the face of death. So Krishna consciousness makes us abhay, fearless. Abhay charan, you see. We become abhay charan, or fearless, by having taken shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. But those who do not take shelter of Krishna, by nature of that not taking shelter of Krishna, they must cause distress to offenseless living beings. By nature. Even someone in the mud of goodness, they sometimes slip down into passionate ignorance and do something they shouldn't have done. It's like sometimes we hear about these mass killings, you know, some employee comes to the office and he shoots his manager and all his co-workers. And they say, well, he was such a good person. We don't know what happened. He was so nice and friendly and, you know, something happened. So even if somebody's in the mode of goodness, Or that actually the case, there was some famous killer in Kansas. He was actually the president of his church, a Methodist church. He was a lay member, but he was elected to be the president of the, you know, the congregation. And he was doing these mass killings. He was a famous, he was the one who was doing all these, for years he had done these killings. He was a secret killer. They couldn't figure out who it was, and they finally figured out who it was, and he was the president of a church. So even though he was trying to go on in the mode of goodness, he had this other side, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You see? He had this other side that was coming out, this evil demoniac side. So even someone who's going on in the mode of goodness, they can sometimes slip down and do something very horrible. You see? It is only when we come to pure goodness, Shuddha Sattva, that is the platform, this is called Vasudeva stage. That platform of Krishna consciousness, you see, that is where we become subtly situated as sadhus, saintly persons, who don't slip down into roguish mentalities. So this is our purpose in this movement. We want to create a society where the leaders are actually saintly. In the Vedic times, that was certainly the case. You had Rajarshi. Raja and Rishi combined, that is Rajarshi. So they were saintly kings. They were great sadhus. This is Parikshit Maharaj is here. Where do we have such leaders today? Where is the Parikshit Maharajas? Where are the Yudhisthir Maharajas? They do not exist. But it is our duty in this Krishna consciousness movement to become such pure and perfect Brahman Vaishnavas that by our preaching we can create Parikshit Maharajas and Yudhisthirs to rule the countries of this planet. That is our responsibility. We are not simply meant to sit in our temples and eat some chapatis and you know, get some of the so-called Brahmin deli, you see. We are meant for breaking a revolution on this planet. Viplavaha. We are meant for bringing about a revolution to turn the tide of history, you see. Sometimes people say, oh, why are you Hare Krishna people aren't into reading newspapers, you know, watching the news? I mean, why are you not more interested in keeping up with current events? Sometimes they ask like that. Well, the real fact is, it's much more exciting to make history than it is to study history. It's much more exciting to be the news than to watch the news. So actually, by taking up this service of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, becoming soldiers in the army of Srila Prabhupada, we are actually making history on this planet. We are making history. We are the news, actually. We are the news. It's just the media hasn't picked up on it yet. They're covering all this nonsense, roguish activity. They should be covering ISKCON. You know, every day, and what is your newspaper? Your newspaper here every day. The Chicago newspaper should have the every day the front page should be Kishore Kishori in full color. For those who couldn't make it to the temple, they can get their morning newspaper and see how the Lord was dressed this morning. You see, that should be the morning. The newspaper every day, the Chicago newspaper should have Kishore Kishori in the front and center in full color. In the Bhagavatam class, you know, the transcript of the Bhagavatam class. You see, this is actual news. This is actual news. Karmis, there's so much after this mundane news. Actually, Prabhupada gives one story. Now, there was one time a Christian, you may have heard this story. Bears repeating. If you haven't, if you have heard it, it's all right. You'll enjoy it again. There was one Christian preacher. He was preaching in Sheffield, England. This is a coal mining town. And he's thinking how to convert these coal miners and get them to accept Jesus. So, he says, well, if you don't accept Jesus, he said, you have to accept Jesus or you go to hell. And one miner raised his hand. He said, what is his number? Because in the mine, everyone had a number. Miner number one, miner number two, in a little cap or whatever, they had a number. So he was thinking that Jesus was one of the workers in the mine, one of the miners. And they had to accept. They said, what is his number? They wanted to know which shaft he worked in, you know, what shift he worked on. We have to accept him as our Lord. So the Christian preacher knew he was up against a real, you know, tough bunch. They thought Jesus was one of the miners. He said, no, he is not minor. He is the Son of God, and you have to accept him or you'll go to hell. So another miner said, okay, what is hell? And so the preacher said, well, it's very dark, it's very cold, it's very damp. It's horrible. There's no fresh air to breathe. And there was no response from the miners. No big deal. That's what we work every day, you know. We're used to that. That doesn't scare us. You know, dark, cold, damp, no fresh air. That's what we work every day. No big deal. So the preacher was wondering, well, how am I going to convince these people to accept Jesus? I mean, they think he's one of the miners. That hell doesn't scare them. What in the world can I tell them to get them to accept Jesus? And he's got an idea. Oh, yeah, and there's no newspapers. And they say, oh, horrible, no newspapers. We'll accept Jesus. Don't take away our newspaper. So, for Karmi, that newspaper is a very special thing. It's very special. You can see them on the commuter train. They're just keeping a newspaper, very precious, holding it in their arms on the commuter train to work. You see, my newspaper. So we do not need this rubbish newspaper. We have Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the sweetest, most nectarian, unlimitedly relishable news. The other newspaper, you read it now and you throw it. It gets old very quickly. You put it in the litter box for the cat to pass stool, you see. But this news, the more you read this news, why is that? The more you read this Bhagavatam, the more it becomes exciting and enlivening. Why is that? Because Krishna is Nava Yovanam. He is an ever-fresh youth. Just imagine one flower, you pick that flower. Normally you pick a flower, you offer to Krishna and he smells very nice. It's so beautiful and fresh. Just like we are given one nice fresh garland, but in 2 days from now, it'll be all rotting, you see. So, just imagine a flower, when you can pick that flower, and the longer you hold it in your hand, it becomes more beautiful, more fragrant, and more fresh. It just goes on becoming more beautiful, more fragrant and more fresh. If you're falling asleep, wake up or stand up. The sleeping time is later on, not now in the Bhagavatam. Okay? Just imagine a flower that just becomes unlimitedly, ever increasingly fragrant. That is Krishna. So the more you hear about Krishna, the more we talk about Krishna, the more we think about Krishna, it becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. That is Krishna consciousness. So therefore, every day we can read the same Bhagavatam. Instead of them bringing in the morning newspaper to discuss today's morning news, the stock market, what happened between the Cubs and the White Sox, you see. Whatever it is, that is not very interesting to us. It's just boring. It is simply chewing the tube. What is exciting to us is, what did Parikshit do? You see, that is news. What did Parikshit Maharaj do? That is exciting. This Bhagavatam is so wonderful that actually the more you study it, the more you read it, the more you apply it, you actually come to the point where you're, practically speaking, living in the Bhagavatam. You may say, well, how is that possible? But actually we have two types of Bhagavatam. There's the book Bhagavatam and the person Bhagavatam. So my question is, does Prabhupada want us all to become persons Bhagavatam or not? He wants us to become highly advanced Vaishnavas, every one of us, that each and every one of us is person Bhagavatam. That every thought is Bhagavatam, every word is Bhagavatam, and every action is Bhagavatam. That's what Prabhupada wants us to come to that position. He wants a whole society of acharyas, he said in Mayapur. He told us. He wants 10,000 acharyas. So, this is the actual sweetness of life. To become so immersed in this Bhagavat culture, Krishna consciousness. They were just oozing with Krishna consciousness at every minute. And anybody who comes in contact with us, they get that Krishna juice all over them. Prabhupada is like that. He's like a glob jamun just oozing out all this sugar water. Prabhupada is like the ultimate glob jamun, just oozing out Krishna consciousness. Anybody who came close just got inundated with Krishna consciousness. So we have to be like that. We see so many senior devotees in our movement who have really taken this process very seriously. Just to see them is enlivening. To hear them speak is even more enlivening, you see. Because they're so deeply immersed in Krishna consciousness, they're just oozing it. It's just like, or like a, they're like a, you know, like a radio tower or a TV tower, just sending out all these vibrations in all directions of Krishna bhakti. So we see there are many senior devotees in our movement who are like that. And actually everyone can become like them. Senior doesn't necessarily mean a Prabhupada disciple or a sannyasi or a guru. Anyone can become a senior advanced devotee just by taking prayer very seriously, this process of nityam bhagavata sevaya. Hearing the Bhagavatam and serving the person Bhagavatam, the spiritual master. Anyone who dives deeply into this, doesn't matter if they're living in the temple, if they're living at home, griha, grihe tako, vane tako, sadahari bole dako, Narottam says. Anyone and everyone who takes seriously the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, they can become a sadhu. They can become a storehouse of love of God. Just by dint of their intense absorption in Krishna consciousness, anyone who comes in contact with such a person will be blessed by their association and uplifted in their spiritual life. So the more and more that we can create this mood of pure Krishna bhakti here in our society, then we'll see that gradually, as the miracle culture of ISKCON becomes stronger and stronger and stronger, then the next step is Prabhupada wanted to create Kshatriyas, Krishna conscious Kshatriyas. And that will come when the leaders recognize that this is the leading institution on this planet, not the United Nations, you see, or Harvard University or Oxford. This is actually the leading institution to guide the world out of chaos, ISKCON. That day will come when the leaders of the world will recognize that ISKCON is the institution that will give the guidance, just like they hire consultants nowadays. You know, you bring in some consultants, experts, you know. Bring in some big brains to help you. A company will hire some consultants to help them, you know, start a new division or so many things. A government will bring in expert advice. The government will bring in experts to consult on how we should do this, how we should do that. So the day will come when the ISKCON devotees are the recognized experts on how the society should be run. How everything should be set up. And actually Prabhupada introduced this in principle very strongly in Chicago. If you've studied the history of Prabhupada's preaching, Chicago was where he introduced this principle very strongly. Crime and how to stop it. He was flying into Chicago and he picked up a magazine on the airplane. Newsweek or Time, and there was the whole thing was crime and how to stop it. That was the cover. So when Prabhupada came here, he gave a whole series of lectures, and he met with government leaders that we have the problem, we have the solution rather, to solve the crime problem. So that was introduced here in Chicago. Prabhupada used Chicago as his base for pushing for this principle that Krishna consciousness will solve the crime problem in the human society. So actually it's a very appropriate verse today, because it comes back to the very same thing that Prabhupada himself pushed very strongly here in Chicago. That when Krishna consciousness becomes predominant in the society, then the crime problem is automatically erased. You see? The dishonest miscreants will naturally be curbed when Krishna consciousness becomes predominant in society. Unfortunately, the government leaders, even though some of them, like one lieutenant from the Chicago Police Department, Lieutenant Mosey, he came and talked with Prabhupada very respectfully. The mayor of Evanston also met with Prabhupada. So they came and, you know, as official representatives of the police department and the Evanston city. And they had their official meetings with Prabhupada and said, very, very nice, very nice. But they didn't really take it. It was a diplomatic move because they thought Prabhupada, they liked Prabhupada's idea. They very much appreciated that we want to solve this crime problem in society. They very much appreciated. But practically they did nothing. It's more like a diplomatic, official thing to meet with the big leader of the Hare Krishna movement. We like very much your idea, and we appreciate it. That was about it. There was nothing practical. But that day will come. We shouldn't think it will never come. That day will come when the leaders will actually come and be willing to take practical steps of action to solve the problems in the society. Actually, the more the Kali Yuga degrades, that will help our movement to go forward. That will help our movement. We were discussing last night in the Bhakta Bhiksha meeting that formerly in this country, everyone drank the tap water, and we thought there was no problem. But gradually, people became aware that the water is not always pure, even that comes out of your tap. So then purified water became very popular. And who could ever think that people would be buying bottled water? We never dreamed. People would go down, you can get free water out of the tap, well, almost free. You still pay something. Who would think that you would pay money for a bottle of water to drink it? I mean, no one ever thought of such a thing. But now it's very common. Even in remote Indian villages, you can find bottled water. You see? And now the new thing is air, because the air is getting so polluted. They actually have, just like there are hair salons now in Tokyo, they have air salons. They put you inside this oxygen tube. You actually crawl inside it and lay down, and they close it. It's like a space capsule. And they put pure oxygen in there, and you can, for 40 minutes, you can get pure oxygen and really get surcharged with pure breathing, you see. And now they have little tanks called, it's called O-Pure. Little tanks you can buy. Bottled oxygen. So you can really get some good air. You know, when the pollution gets too heavy, you just get out your tank of O-Pure and get some good breathing. As things get more polluted, then these things come out. Bottled water, bottled air. But the next step actually will be pure consciousness. You see? And which is the company or the institution which can provide that to the society? That's us, Prabhus and Mataji. ISKCON is that society which can give pure consciousness. You see? No one can compete with us. Because Prabhupada is giving, even the other Gaudiyas, they don't have that degree of realization of Prabhupada. Prabhupada is a unique spiritual master. That's why he was chosen by Lord Chaitanya to be the one who would inundate the entire planet with Krishna Bhakti. Prabhupada is, practically speaking, the greatest spiritual master in the history of the universe. So by his mercy, we have the formula to actually, when the world is ready, when they realize that our conscious, the polluted water was there, we had to get bottled water, purified water, polluted air, we had to get purified air to breathe, and now we realize our consciousness is so polluted, now we need purified consciousness, and you Hare Krishna people can give it to us. They'll come begging, please give me, teach me how to have pure consciousness. I'm seeing it on the internet. I've started when I ventured onto the internet to see what I could do. And I've got 20,000 people signed up on the internet from all over the world to learn how to get pure consciousness. Because there's a need for this in the world. People are looking for something. They realize, I don't have it all here. There's something lacking. I need self-realization. I need higher consciousness. I need Krishna consciousness. So that day will come when thousands and millions of people will demand pure consciousness. And we will be, and we have to be ready to teach them and guide them. So take your studies very seriously. Take your chanting very seriously. Take your service very seriously. That you're being given by your authorities. And go above and beyond the call of duty also. Don't just think, well, I'll do whatever service I'm asked. No, you should look for service beyond what you're asked to do. That is first class. There are four different types of disciples. Fourth class disciple, he's told what to do and he doesn't do it. He neglects the order of the spiritual master. You see, that's fourth class. We see, unfortunately, that's happened to many of our ISKCON members. They don't chant their rounds anymore. That's fourth class. They don't follow the principles. Fourth class. They disobey the order of the spiritual master. Then third class, they serve the spiritual master, but sometimes begrudgingly. Well, I don't really want to do it, but I'll do it. Get it done. I don't really feel like chanting, but you know, I'll get my 16 rounds then so I can go do something else. I don't really have a taste. I'm not really diving into it with love, you see. Just get it over with. See, that's third class disciple. Second class disciple, whatever he's instructed or she is instructed to do, they do it with great enthusiasm, with great enlivenment. Second class. You may say, why is that not first class? What is first class? Well, first class knows what to do without even being told. They understand the needs of the spiritual master and they go forward with enthusiasm, even without being told, to do what the spiritual master needs to have done. They understand the mood of their spiritual master so well, they can do what needs to be done even without being told. That is first class disciple. So we have to come to that platform, just like Prabhupada has given us this wonderful ISKCON center here, Chicago. So everyone here, we should all become first class. Not that I have to be told, I can see what needs to be done and I do it with great enthusiasm. Not that I, you know, concoct something that causes chaos. We have to always verify what I'm doing is acceptable under our temple president here. But still, we should be very enthusiastic and innovative to see how we can beautify the temple more and more, how we can beautify it with more and more jivas to fill it up, etc., etc. We should all come to this first-class position. Because when we actually become fixed as first-class devotees, then we will have great power for influencing the whole world. This is an amazing point that I just, every time I think about it, it's just inconceivable, but it's right there in Prabhupada's book, so it has to be real. Otherwise Prabhupada would not have said it. But here's what Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It really seems unbelievable, but it has to be real, because otherwise how would Prabhupada say it? He says that anyone who chants the holy names of the Lord without offense becomes Jagad Guru. And by his influence, the entire world takes up chanting Hare Krishna. So we all think, well, that's Prabhupada. But let me ask you, it's true, it is Prabhupada. But let me ask you this, does Prabhupada want you to become a pure chanter of the holy name or not? He wants you to remain an impure chanter? Or does he want you to become a spotlessly pure chanter? Obviously, Prabhupada wants us all to become spotlessly pure chanters. Prabhupada wants each and every one of us to become so pure and so advanced in Krishna consciousness that we can influence, and even individually, we can influence the whole world to take up Krishna consciousness. What to speak of collectively, which brings in the principle of synergy, which makes it even more powerful. You see? So individually and collectively, Prabhupada wants us to become so pure that we can influence the entire world to chant Hare Krishna. He wants us, each and one of us, to become to that level where we can become Jagadguru. That's what it's right there. It seems unbelievable. Like, wow, that's unbelievable. But it's right there in Prabhupada's purport. So we should never think, well, you know, I can't become a pure devotee. I'm just a hopeless basket case. I'll remain fallen forever. I mean, it's good to feel that way. As Prabhupada said, in the presence of your guru, you should think you're a fool, but you shouldn't act like one. You should not act like a fool. Always consider yourself a fool in the presence of your guru, but don't act like a fool. So we should always think, I'm the most fallen, wretched demon. But we should try to come to that platform of pure bhakti. Absolute pure bhakti in every thought, every word and activity, in all times, all places and all circumstances. And then we can actually, by dint of our pure service, Prabhupada acting through us, Lord Chaitanya acting through us, we can actually do something to bring about to bring actual peace and harmony all over the human society by the grace of the acharyas, by surrendering to them and acting as their instruments, then we can actually do something to turn the world upside down, make a revolution on this planet. So are there any questions?
Yes, sir.
What is it? Who?
Jayananda.
Ah, oh yes, yes, yes. That's right, today, thank you very much, Prabhu. You so mercifully reminded me of my illustrious, wonderful, beautiful, unlimitedly sweet godbrother Jayananda Thakur. Yes. I did not have so much association with him, but whatever little I had was very, very incredibly sweet. Jayananda is, again, like a glob jamun with unlimited juice. So even that little contact I had with him, those few memories, there's unlimited nectar there. So I'll give my memory. Of course, I was recruited in this movement by His Holiness Vishnu Jan Maharaj, who was a great admirer of Jayananda. So, of course, Jayananda was the pillar of our ISKCON San Francisco temple in the early days. Everybody else was a little bit spaced out hippie LSD takers who gave it up and joined the ashram. But he had an engineering degree, and he renounced it to become a taxi driver because he couldn't relate to the material society. So he was more sober and mature. And his taxi driving supported the temple, actually. He drove a taxi. He was the temple president and the taxi driver. But anyway, I remember we went to San Francisco to see Prabhupada. This is 1971. My first time to see Prabhupada, actually. I was getting to see Prabhupada for the first time. And of course, Jayananda, he's out at the Bharatiyatra site, you know, getting the carts ready for the festival. The last finishing touches is Prabhupada's landing at the airport, you know. So I had been asked, they asked the volunteers to go to the Bharatiyatra site, and I went. But then there was an announcement made at the site that Prabhupada is now arriving at the airport. And there was one van that was actually leaving the festival site to go to the... I was thinking, oh my God, Prabhupada, I've never seen Prabhupada, this is my chance. But I was now working on the crew to get the carts ready. I was really torn. But I knew I had to go see Prabhupada. So Jayananda, I have asked Jayananda because I was working under his direction. And he said, yes, you can go. So it's by Jayananda's mercy that I had my first darshan of Prabhupada. His mercy. And so I always remember him for that. He could have said, no, he looked around. He's a practical man. He looked around to see how many helpers he had. He looked around, see how many he had. He said, yes, you can go. He's an intelligent man. He knew how to manage. He made sure he had enough men before he said, I could go. But yeah, I'm internally indebted to Jayananda. He gave me my first darshan of Prabhupada, actually. And of course he wasn't a sannyasi. That was a big status in those days. There was only a few. He wasn't a sannyasi, but still he had big, big status. I remember in the San Francisco temple, he was sitting in the hallway chanting his japa with great focus, great intensity of focus. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Could see he was really a sadhu, you see. Devotees would come up and offer obeisances to him. He was worshipped, actually, because they knew this. He is a very special devotee. He's not like us, wild, you see. He's very, very advanced devotee. Everyone knew. There's this very special devotee in our midst, Jayananda. And I remember as we were leaving, somehow or other he was on the street. And of course I offered my obeisances to him. And I was really amazed. He got down right there in the middle of the street and returned his obeisances to me. You know, he didn't even know me. So I really appreciated. That was my only ever contact with him, that festival, the Ratha Yatra festival. That was, of course, I look forward to. I know I'll have his eternal association in Golok. Looking forward to being with him again when I leave this body. But such personalities are very, very dear. Otherwise, how has Prabhupada instructed us to celebrate his disappearance day? This is Prabhupada's order to us. He used to be honored as a great Vaishnava Acharya. So we have to think to follow his example of complete absorption in Krishna consciousness. Even at the end, his leukemia was just killing him, absolutely killing him. He was going through great physical distress over leukemia, which is just taking over his whole body, cancer, blood cancer, just killing him. But still he pushed forward the preaching, the Ratha Yatra. He was so blissful and so ecstatic that anybody who came in contact him couldn't help but become attracted to Krishna consciousness. He could attract anyone and everyone. I mean, for example, how many people are enlivened to take out the garbage? Show of hands. Who gets enlivened to take out the garbage? Wow, taking out the garbage. But they would have a run to the dump. They would take the trash and load it in the van and take it to some dump. And I mean, he would do that. He was doing all the humble services. And devotees who would go on the garbage run with Jayananda, it was just absolutely ecstatic. Whatever you did with Jayananda was ecstatic. Because he was relishing the bliss of Krishna consciousness in any service. Didn't matter what it was. He was going out and doing business, selling incense for the temple. Whatever he did, he was just absolutely enlivened to do it. And he was just very, very humble. And he was very sweet in his dealings. He would wake somebody up and put some prasadam in their mouth. And, you know, he was very personal and warm with the devotees. He was very humble and just very sweet in the way he would deal. He was a fun person to be with. He made every Krishna consciousness extremely exciting. Every moment he was just a storehouse of nectar. And he had so much love for Prabhupada. He was always glorifying Prabhupada. So by remembering such a great personality as Jayananda Prabhu. Jayanila prema dana karuna prachu Ena prabhukota gena charja taku. We simply hanker for the association of such great personalities. And in their separation, we just break, we smash our head against the rocks, actually. That we would like very much to see him today, but because he has departed from this, our vision, our material vision. Of course, he has not actually left, but because we are still blind, our eyes are covered by cataracts, we cannot see such great persons who are actually still here to bless us with their divine presence. Jayananda Prabhu Ki Jai. So I guess we've kind of run out of time here. Carry on with our work. For the pleasure of Prabhupada and Jayananda and our wonderful temple president, Sunil Prabhu, we have to please him. We're all his servants. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. I guess it's time for breakfast now, yeah. Actually, when the hearers are good, then I'm enlivened to speak. Yeah, you hearers get all the credit. The hearers are like dumb stones. I have no enlivenment. I see the hearers have bhakti move, and it is you draw, but your bhakti just draws it out. Draws it out of me. You know what I mean? It's your bhakti, actually. You get all the credit. You actually gave the class.
No.
I'm just a medium for your bhakti.
We're just hearing the nectar. Coming
you're
out from
like a Krishna Tattu Balaram.
As you mentioned in your class, a big tower and it's vibrating Krishna Bhakti. They're sitting on the Vyasasan, vibrating all this Krishna Bhakti.
Actually,
it's humbling, receiving.
Prabhupada calls it Guru Parampara Radio, just like they have a series of radio towers that transmit a message. I've seen they do that with the telephone towers.
So you're one transmitting tower. Krishna Bhakti, Prabhupada Krishna Bhakti, and we're
actually
receiving
that
it through you.
That is the position I'm given. What can I do? I'm just trying to be a good transmitting tower for the previous transmitters.
Yeah.
That's a fact. I'm trying to do.
Transcendental waves from the spiritual world come to your heart and you explain them
I'm
to
trying
the sound,
to do
with the sound vibration.
I'm trying just to be an instrument for the previous acharyas and let them speak through me. But I don't get in the way.
We have a telephone.
This sitting class, we have to become like that.
Yeah, I'm trying not to get in the way, you know. Trying to, you know, my lust, anger, and greed. Just trying to, okay, lust, anger, and greed. Get down there. Get out of the way, you rascal. Kali, you know, I'm just trying to curb down the demoniac. I'm such a demon, actually. But I just that keep curbing it down. You know, like Bhakti Siddhanta said, you know.
We have the thing like that.
You smash your mind 100 times with shoes in the morning and 100 times with broomstick at night.
Down.
I'm such a demon. I just kept beating down it. Damn. Material mentality, you know.
Yeah, just same thing with the British Sharias used to say. We have to say like that.
No, it's real. I am doing it. I have to fight my demanding mentality.
He's fighting with the mind, it's always. Although we become automat.
But I am winning, actually. I can say, by Prabhupada's mercy, I'm winning the fight.
We have to win.
I'm winning. It's by His grace, I'm actually winning.
That's good.
That demoniac tendency is getting weaker and weaker over the years by Prabhupada's mercy. I am winning the fight by His grace.
Well, you have to bless me to win the fight also.
May you win the fight. May you win the fight.
Yeah.
May you completely defeat.
Well,
may you become an absolutely pure devotee who can influence the whole world to chant Hare Krishna.
We want to.
May
we
you come to that position. You can become a Sankirtan Maharati. Can influence the whole planet to take up Krishna consciousness. That anyone you take, they cannot refuse to take a book. That every, wow. My blessing is that every person you approach will take a book.
Oh, right.
And give a big donation.
What's the matter with the donation? At least take the book. At least take the book.
But they'll give you their whole wallet and their credit card.
I don't care the wallet. Their consciousness should be changed. Yeah. Their consciousness should be changed. Wallet comes automatically. Yeah. I mean, money comes.
No, that's right. Now the money is a symptom. If the consciousness has changed, the money naturally comes.
Yeah.
This was a nice point. We had a leaders meeting here in 1989 upstairs.
Right here?
Yeah, and a very nice point was made by one temple president. They had a very successful program at their temple. The Indians were giving a lot of money to support the temple. And he said, actually, we're not going for the money. We just went to purify their hearts.
Right, yes.
If you make them devotees, then naturally they give them money.
Yeah, everything comes.
You make them devotees, that's the focus. That's right. What you're saying is 100% correct.
I don't say that. Prabhupada says that. But the money comes automatically because Lakshmi Devi is so pleased by doing this service. The lotus feet of Prabhupada.
So is breakfast time now?
Yeah, I know it's going to be now. Yeah, the Lord is taking.
Oh, not until 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
All right.
Volition from 12 and 9.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'll come down at 9.
Thank you for
Hare Krishna.